Blog Talk Radio.
Just to think about it, I would do things that I would regret. Trying to get you to understand how I felt for you. I tried real hard time and time again, but I didn't know my love wouldn't grow. I should have just let it go, but I stayed around thinking you would learn to love. And we both know you're wrong. There's nothing you can do to ever undo what you've done.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Darlene Lewis. Welcome to another week of real music, real talk, and real conversation. And tonight, basically, I'm going to be talking to you about the state of our youth. And in particular, I'm going to discuss the HIV and AIDS among you. Now, young people in the United States are at persistent risk for HIV infection. This risk is especially notable for youth of minority races and ethnicities. Continual HIV prevention, outreach, and education efforts, including programs on abstinence and on delaying the initiation of sex, are required as new generations replace the generations that benefited from earlier prevention strategies. But unless otherwise noted, this fact sheet defines youth or young people as persons who are 13 to 24 years of age. Now, in 2004, which was 7 years ago, the statistics were based on data from 35 areas with long-term confidential name-based HIV reporting. Now, this is going to probably surprise you. It may not shock you. It may shock you. However, in 2004, an estimated 4,883 young people received a diagnosis of HIV infection or AIDS, representing about 13% of the persons given a diagnosis during that year. HIV infection progressed to AIDS more slowly among young people than among all persons with the diagnosis of HIV infection. Now, I'm going to mention to you proportions of persons in whom HIV infection did not progress to AIDS within 12 months after diagnosis of HIV infection. 81% of persons between ages 15 and 24, 70% of persons aged 13 to 24, 61% of all persons. African Americans were disproportionately affected by HIV infection, accounting for 55% of all HIV infections reported among persons ages 13 to 24. Young men who have sex with men, especially those of minority races or ethnicities, were at high risk for HIV infection. In the 7 cities that participated in the CDC's, which is the Center for Disease Control, young men surveyed during 1994 to 1998, 14% of African American men who were having sex with men and 7% of Hispanic men having sex with men aged 15 to 22 were infected with HIV. During 2001 to 2004 in the 33 states with long-term confidential name-based HIV reporting, 62% of the 17,824 persons 13 to 24 years of age given a diagnosis of HIV/AIDS were males and 38% were females. Now, these figures have increased drastically. But since the beginning of the epidemic, an estimated 40,559 young people in the United States have received a diagnosis of AIDS, and an estimated 10,129 young people with AIDS had died. They accounted for about 4% of the estimated total of 944,306 AIDS diagnoses and 2% of the 529,113 deaths of people with AIDS. People, what are we doing? What are we working with? What is going on with our youth? I am expecting GQ, Gerald Quick of E4 Enterprises, to call into the show, who recently received, I believe, a certificate in counseling and HIV. I have a very bad cold. I was out in the rain today, and I'll tell you about that a little later, why I was out in the rain. But anyway, he's supposed to be calling in, you know, to talk about what he's doing in mentoring young people with AIDS. But I just want to talk about the risk factors and barriers to prevention. Now, early age at sexual initiation. According to the CDC's Youth Risk Behavior Survey, many young people begin having sexual intercourse at early ages. Okay, 47% of high school students have had sexual intercourse, and 7.4% of them reported first sexual intercourse before age 13. HIV/AIDS education needs to take place at correspondingly young ages before young people engage in sexual behaviors that put them at risk for HIV infection. I'm not understanding why some parents who evidently don't realize that their children are having sex don't see this as a means of saving lives. There are so many news reports about schools having hardships getting programs and these type of curriculums of inclusion about sexual activity and sexual education and prevention because the parents in the neighborhood feel that it will increase the curiosity. No, curiosity didn't kill the cat. The cat needs to know about choices that they can make. Now let's talk about heterosexual transmission. Young women, especially those of minority races or ethnicities, and the reason why I'm pinpointing this group is because this group is more likely to not receive medical attention. Why? For, well, a few factors. One, the parent may not have health insurance. If you don't have health insurance, you may have to apply for government insurance. And sometimes government insurance does not cover certain type of physicals that is needed or certain type of tests. Another factor is that now a lot of people, because of HIPAA, parents may not be aware of the physical problems that are taking place, the medical problems that their children have, because they have laws that protect them, their privacy. So, therefore, a lot of times the parents won't even give the child their own medical card to even go get tested. Sometimes kids are so ignorant and so uneducated and sometimes so afraid to discuss these matters with their parents that illnesses and symptoms sometimes go overlooked because the kids are covering up or the kids may not even be aware of this silent killer. But let me tell you about heterosexual transmission. Now, young women, especially those of minority races or ethnicities, are increasingly at risk for HIV infection through heterosexual contact. According to data from a CDC study of HIV prevalence among disadvantaged youth during the early to mid-1990s, the rate of HIV prevalence among young women aged 15 to 21 was 50% higher than the rate among young men in that age group. 50% higher, ladies. Do you understand what that means? African-American women in this study were 7 times as likely as white women and 8 times as likely as Hispanic women to be HIV positive. Young women are at risk for sexually transmitted HIV for several reasons, and I'm going to talk about this a lot throughout most of my radio shows because women, you guys got to wake up. Seriously, you got to start loving yourself. You got to stop paying attention. You got to stop. Look and listen and focus on yourself because right now you are neglecting yourself and you are being abused, and some of you may not even know it. Young women are at risk for sexually transmitted HIV for several reasons, including biologic vulnerability, lack of recognition of their partner's risk factors, inequality in relationships, and having sex with older men who are more likely to be infected with HIV. Let's talk about this, ladies. Biologic vulnerability. That means you are vulnerable biologically for two reasons. You're not paying attention to your body. You can also be born with this and not know it. You young girls whose parents got together casually. Sometimes these things are transmitted during childbirth, they say. We don't know. Check yourself out. Go to the clinic. Go get your checkups. Lack of recognition of their partner's risk factors. Ladies, you're laying up with these men, these boys. You don't know them. Do you go to the clinic? You're kissing on them, you're exchanging bodily fluids, you're having anal sex with these men, you're having oral sex with these men. You don't know what their status is. You just met them. You don't know what's going on in their life. You must pay attention. If a person does not want to go with you to the clinic, you do not need to be in that person's life. A lot of these girls are having sex with older men because they probably are lacking that father figure in their home, that older man treats you. And I'm going to tell you, ladies, that was me at one time, dating the older man. But the difference between me and a lot of my friends and some of these young girls right now, we always put ourselves first. We had sex education courses. We had people telling us what to do and what not to do. We also believed in monogamy, and we waited. We didn't jump into the bed right away. And back then, everybody was having free sex. Condoms, they were a rarity. Let's be real. But nowadays, these young girls are sleeping with men who come around with so much risk factors, and they're not paying attention to what's going on. And in the real world, you have to protect yourself before it is too late. People are not going to literally tell you, that they have HIV because they're afraid. Sometimes they don't even care whether or not you want to date them or not. They do these things because they don't have long to live. So they want to bring someone down with them. So, ladies, you have to protect yourself. You have to be more diligent. You have to do your homework. You have to stop laying up with men and boys right off the bat. Seriously. Like, this may save your life. And a lot of you out there, you know, come up with these little excuses. not wanting to protect yourself. You may want to, you know, you say, oh, I don't feel it, so I don't want to wear a condom. Oh, he can't really, you know, enjoy me. You're a fool. You are a fool, ladies. If you lay up with someone who you just met and you don't do the research and find out who they are, who they slept with, and what the risk factors are. I'll be right back. I'm going to play a little music, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more. attention. Call me now, 347-989-0761. We're on the air. We're talking about what's going on with the youth of America. We're going to let you listen to some good music. I'm in the mood for some old school, some new school, some true school. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what's going on with this Like It Is situation at ABC. We're going to talk about the state of our youth. And, yeah, it's going to be a good show. It'll be on for the next 39 minutes. So if you want to call me now. Go to blogtalkradio.com/hearnoevil, and you can listen to me. Be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to blogtalkradio.com. I'm your host and show producer. Welcome to the show, Hear No Evil. As we were speaking a few minutes ago, we were talking about HIV and heterosexual transmission and the risk factors with women. And as I stated previously, young women are at risk for sexually transmitted HIV for several reasons, including biologic vulnerability, lack of recognition of their partner's risk factors, inequality in relationships, and having sex with older men who are more likely to be infected with HIV. However, young men having sex with men are at high risk for HIV infection, but their risk factors and the prevention barriers they face differ from those of persons who become infected through heterosexual contact. Now let's investigate this. According to a CDC study of 5,589 men having sex with men, 55% of young men aged 15 to 22 did not let other people know they were sexually attracted to men. Men having sex with men who do not disclose their sexual orientation are less likely to seek HIV testing. So if they become infected, they are less likely to know it. Further, because men having sex with men who do not disclose their sexual orientation are likely to have one or more female sex partners. It's so disturbing when I hear this. Men having sex with men who become infected may transmit the virus to women as well as to men. In a small study of African-American men having sex with men, college students and non-students in North Carolina, the participants had sexual risk factors for HIV infection, and 20% had a female sex partner during the preceding 12 months. That's trifling, guys. Trifling, okay? Knock it off. If you out the closet, okay, I respect you. You do your thing. But come on, guys. Do you think it's right to be having sexual partners and not let your sexual partner know that you're having sex with same sex as you? Do you think it's fair? And is it, what are you doing to yourself? What are you saying to your body? What are you doing to your family? Think about your family and how they feel about what you're doing and how you're doing it. Sexually transmitted diseases greatly increases a person's likelihood of acquiring or transmitting HIV. Some of the highest STD rates in the country are those among young people, especially young people of minority races and ethnicities. Like I said before, I'm pinpointing ethnic groups, black and Hispanic, due to the fact these are the groups that seem to have no regard for their health, and those that do have regard for their health are not seeking the proper medical attention for various factors. They may not have money. They may not know that they can go to a free clinic. They may be so, so embarrassed about what they will find out, so they hide and just live a carefree life because they feel no one cares about them. And also just because they just don't know. Young people in the United States use alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs at high rates. Both casual and chronic substance users are more likely to engage in high-risk behaviors, such as unprotected sex, when they are under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Runaways and other homeless young people are at high risk for HIV infection if they are exchanging sex for drugs or money. Research has shown that a large proportion of young people are not concerned about becoming infected with HIV. Adolescents need accurate, age-appropriate information about HIV infection and AIDS, including how to talk with their parents or other trusted adults about HIV and AIDS. This is serious, guys. You need to learn how to reduce or eliminate risk factors. You need to know how to talk with a potential partner about risk factors. Where to get tested for HIV, how to use a condom correctly. Information should also include the concept that abstinence is the only 100% effective way to avoid infection. Poverty and out-of-school youth. Nearly 1 in 4 African Americans and 1 in 5 Hispanics live in poverty. So that means when you're walking down the street and you see 5 people walking, one of them is living in poverty, at least one of them. The socioeconomic problems associated with poverty, including lack of access to high-quality health care, can directly or indirectly increase the risk for HIV infection. Young people who have dropped out of school are more likely to become sexually active at younger ages and to fail to use contraception. Why is that? Why are we going through this? Why are we having this conversation over and over and over with all of this information that's out here? Why are these young people still faced with these type of dilemmas? Many young people who contracted HIV through perinatal transmission and facing decisions about becoming sexually active. They will require ongoing counseling and prevention education to ensure that they do not transmit HIV. The CDC estimates that 56,300 new HIV infections occurred in the United States since 2006. I'm sorry, in 2006. That was 5 years ago. So let's multiply 56,300 times 5, because that's basically where we're at right now. Populations of minority races or ethnicities are disproportionately affected by the HIV epidemic. This is really bothering me. This is really, really bothering me, okay? Because it seems like with all of this information that we're putting out there, nobody's listening. Hello? Please talk to your children. Talk to your relatives. Talk to your friends' relatives. I'm walking up and down. I'm driving up and down different boulevards in every other state, and I'm looking at young people, and they're not looking healthy. They're looking dehydrated. They're looking dirty. Okay, they're walking around with their pants sagging, some of them, all right? It needs to be dealt with. They're looking dirty. They're not looking cared for. When is somebody going to say enough is enough? To reduce further the incidence of HIV, CDC announced an initiative advancing HIV prevention. This initiative comprises four strategies: making HIV testing a routine part of medical care, implementing new models for diagnosing HIV infections outside medical settings, preventing new infections by working with HIV-infected persons and their partners, and further decreasing perinatal HIV transmission. Through the Minority AIDS Initiative, CDC explores ways to reduce health disparities in communities made up of persons of minority races or ethnicities who are at high risk for HIV. These funds are used to address the high priority HIV prevention needs in such communities. Now, the CDC also provides 9 awards to community-based organizations that focus primarily on youth and provides indirect funding through state, territorial, and local health departments to organizations serving youth. Of these 9 awards, 5 are focused on African Americans, 3 on Hispanics, 1 on Asians and Pacific Islanders, and 1 on whites. The following are some CDC testing prevention programs that state and local health departments and CBOs can provide for you. Teens Linked to Care is focused on young people aged 13 to 29 who are living with HIV. And when I say teens, I mean teens 13 to 19, and then anything after that, before 30, you're still a youth to me because I'm 51. So as far as I'm concerned, anybody 20 years younger than me is a youth. Street Smart is an HIV, AIDS, and STD prevention program for young runaway homeless youth. Very important. A lot of people aren't aware that many kids that are in shelters because they ran away, and some kids are emancipated, which means that when you come out of foster care, and if you were never adopted, when you come out of foster care, you go into shelters, and sometimes the shelter systems are not the most pleasant places for kids that have structure, or sometimes they don't want to adhere to the curfews that some shelters have because they just lived through a controlled institution. They want freedom. And sometimes if you miss your curfew, you're not able to get into shelters. And sometimes young people tend to roam the streets and get involved with situations, do drugs, get, you know, conned into prostitution, gang life. You know, some initiations is having sex with multiple partners, doing, you know, strange things. So, you know, Street Smart is an HIV, AIDS, and STD prevention program for runaway homeless youth. You need to check that out if you know of anybody. Google it. PROMISE, which is Peers Reaching Out and Modeling Intervention Strategies for HIV, AIDS Risk Reduction in Their Community. Now, that's a community-level HIV prevention intervention that relies on role model stories and peers from the community. So check out any of those type of programs where there's mentorship and people talking about it. Most of the time, those people that are mentoring probably had HIV or AIDS or know someone or was related to someone, or they just really are experienced in that and they want to reach out and they want to help. Adult Identity Mentoring Project, which encourages students to articulate personal goals and then teaches them the skills required to achieve those goals, can be effective in helping at-risk youth delay the initiation of sex. CDC research has shown that early, clear parent-child communication regarding values and expectations about sex is an important step in helping adolescents stay focus, delay sexual initiation, and make responsible decisions about sexual behaviors later in life. Parents are in a unique position to engage their children in conversations about HIV, STD, and teen pregnancy prevention because the conversations can be ongoing and timely. I started talking with my children at age 4 about their bodies, about the future, what they should focus on. I instilled in them. I took them to homeless shelters. I took them on a bus where homeless people take to go back and forth. I made them walk across a bridge so they can see what it's like when you don't plan properly, when you don't position yourself properly, when you don't take care of your body, what can happen to you. Sometimes you have to scare your kids straight. I know we work hard, and you know, it's rough out here. You know, everybody is not working. So those of you that are not working, take the time out, take that time to talk to your teen. Stop letting them be in front of the television all the time. Give them a book. Give them some information. Make them sit down with you. Stop talking about they're not listening. Who's the parent? Take control of your life. Take control of your children. You also need to command that schools focus more on this topic. And I'm really serious about this because it is no excuse. And it seems that it is a strategic target to rid Black and Hispanics from furthering themselves in the future. And I don't know why that is happening. It could be systemic racism. It could be purposeful infecting people. We don't know whether it's just from food, it could be from sexual activity, it could be from food, it could be any type of environmental factor. We don't know, but we do know that there are cases where you can prevent and eliminate. And we need to start focusing on that and talking to our children and really, really sit down and don't worry about, you know, how they're going to accept it. Kids are really more intelligent than you take them for. Schools also can be important partners for reaching youth before high-risk behaviors are established, as evidenced by the YRBS finding that 88% of high school students in the United States reported having been taught about AIDS or HIV infection in school. So it's very important that the educators take the time out, reach our children, they have the proper materials. The CDC, there's so many programs out there that educators can have to help them in their curriculum. Overall, a multifaceted approach to HIV/AIDS prevention, which includes individual, peer, family, school, religious, community programs, necessary to reduce the incidence of HIV/AIDS in young people. You need to understand HIV and AIDS data. Through a uniform system, CDC receives reports of AIDS cases from all U.S. states and dependent areas. Since the beginning of the epidemic, these data have been used to monitor trends because they are representative of all areas. The data are statistically adjusted for reporting delays, and for the distribution of cases initially reported without risk factors. We must take the time to spend with our children to make sure that they have proper information. We have the guest GQ on the air. there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes, I'm sorry I was so late. I was busy doing some advocacy work myself. I just got certified to be able to actually give HIV tests, the oral rapid tests and the oral sure tests. So I'm certified
really?
Now to do that. And when you say you're
certified, that means people can pay you to give them information?
No, it's not about getting paid. It's about just being able to. It's like having a license to actually give the test. Like I can go to any drop-in center, any health clinic, any school health clinic, any basic health clinic anywhere, any drug program, treatment program, where they might need a volunteer or an intern that knows how to give an HIV antibody test. I'm now qualified to do that, as well as my other advocacy work and consultation and education about the prevention and spread of HIV and AIDS and other STIs. And hello?
Yes, I'm here. I'm so glad to know. Could you just tell your listeners that are listening how they can reach you if they wanted you to come out to their program?
Well, I'm located in the Albany area, the Capital District area. I work out of the Whitney M. Young Health Clinic. We have a social justice center on 33 Central Avenue every Wednesday from 3:30 to 7. We do free HIV testing and HIV testing, and we do our other STIs too. We also educate, and we have various other programs in effect that deal with people that's infected and affected by the disease and the virus of HIV and AIDS. And touching on what you were speaking about the youth, you know, there's so many young people under the age of 25 that are infected, and they're scared to come out to let it be known. They're even scared to go get help after they find out they are infected. And it's like you said, nobody took the time out when these kids were young to educate them, to cultivate them, so when they got older, they didn't run around and have sex and get caught out there. And it starts within the household. And it's true what you said also about how if you start them young, by the time they get 14, 15, when their body and their mind started developing and they venture out and going to school and high school and other places and other events with other interacting with other children and other people, period, they are equipped with enough ammunition and education to prevent themselves from falling victim to certain things. And it's sad how the stigmatism is so rampant when, like, once a person's child is diagnosed with the virus, they cast the child away or they just, you know, it's just no regard, and it's sad because the kids are the future. And if the future, if it's designed for the future, for the kids to be messed up, then that means it's a bigger design for our future to be just as messed up, because that means it's going to be a whole different set of individuals put in place to guarantee a future, but for who? I touched on some information before about how, you know, females, teens period, but females from the age of 14 to 35, one out of every five are walking around actually infected and don't even know. So those numbers change constantly, and if you or anybody can, like, have access or research the CDC's website, you can find these numbers and do the research yourself, and you'll see the overwhelming numbers in every borough and every county in New York State. It's like the new Holocaust. And it's a sad situation because the only people that are really benefiting from this are the pharmaceutical companies, the people that work for the pharmaceutical companies, and the doctors. You know, the people that are suffering are the other people on the other side of the fence, low-income families, people with no health insurance, people with minimum health insurance, people with no education, because those are the targeted areas for any pandemic, epidemic, whatever you want to call it. And
why is it that people, that the poorest people in the world always find time to have sex and have a whole bunch of babies? Like, when you look at these movies or these public service announcements on TV, feed the homeless, feed the children, you see all of these people living in squalor, yet they are laying up having sex.
Well, you have to understand something. The media plays a major part on the mindset of individuals. If I constantly, this is like what I said on last week's show, you have various various different news channels, CNN, Channel 2, Channel 5, whatever. If everybody's telling you the same thing every day, you're guaranteed to believe that more than one or two people telling you something different. So once you control the masses and their thinking pattern, their behavior pattern is going to follow suit to that. So if I'm putting nothing out but negativity, poverty, things that bring your self-esteem down or to confuse you and how to deal with your self-esteem issues, you know, domestic violence, unplanned parenthood, dysfunctional families, dysfunctional comfortability within your family, you know, because a lot of people look for love in the wrong places. And, you know, it's so much more that we are not paying attention to. But at the same time, you have to start somewhere. And a lot of people, sad to say, are not willing to even take the time to start because they themselves are caught up in the economy, not having this, not having that, because they want to keep up with the Joneses when the Joneses are messed up themselves now. So it's a bigger picture, and it's designed. Anything that's designed, you're not going to change it unless you educate yourself and learn how the design is put in place. That's the only way you can undesign the design or create a new design. But,
so
you know,
let me. You made a statement about there's not going to be a generation. Basically, you're saying that the way it's going now,
the generation
the
that
young
we
spoke people,
for, looking at is going to be replaced. At the rate things are going, that's what it's going to come down to. Basically, it might not be done in one swift way. It might be a gradual effect. But if you look at the way society is now, at today's youth, how they think, their mindset, the trends and the fashion and the education and the music they like, the food they eat, their basic lifestyle, compare that trend to a person that's educated, you know, whether they're white, black, Hispanic, Indian, whatever color. Just imagine the amount of people that are dysfunctional compared to the amount of people that are actually educated. Then you look at the nationalities and you see what I'm talking about or who's going to be replaced and who's not going to be taken out of the equation.
So do you think that's where the Generation X conspiracy started?
Absolutely, because like I said, it's designed. See, things that are happening right now were designed 20 and 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't just start right now. This started 30, 20 years. This started in the 70s and in the early 80s. They knew they had to do something, whoever they are. Something had to be designed because the population, how they say the baby boom? Well, our baby boom is bigger than anybody else's baby boom because, like you said, when we don't have nothing else to do, what do? We have sex and make babies.
Mm-hmm.
So when those babies get older, instead of educating them, what do? You just filter them out and let them go about their business. So that's a group. That's a mass group of people that are uneducated, that are dysfunctional, that are maybe infected and scared to get educated because they're scared to let other people know that they're infected, and then their families are already probably going to cast them away, you know, down, you know, treat them like they're not even worth even being part of their family. So it's so many negative stigmas, and that comes from pure ignorance because if you don't educate a person, you can control that person by what you show them, by what you say to them, and by what you feed them. You understand what I'm saying? An educated person has a 90% chance of making it in any situation compared to an uneducated person, and that's in any situation. That's in any nationality. So I had a friend of mine ask me years ago. You know, he was always talking to different nationality females, and he always said, how come he asked a friend of his, asked him why he never tried to talk to a Chinese girl. He said, because it's always hard. He said, you know why it's hard? He said, because they always got books in their face. They never have time to socialize. They always learn it. They always learn. Everywhere you go, you see them on a train, on a bus, whatever, they got a book or something. They're reading something. You understand what I'm saying? You take the average Hispanic or black person, they texting. They playing a video game. They listening to rap music. They keeping up with the latest fashion trend. They're worrying about the gossip. And it's just so much that the education imbalance is so out of place. Of course, the level of life and the quality of life is going to be out of place and imbalanced, which is why so many teens are infected. You have people, kids growing up in families are being molested and taken advantage of by their own in-laws who are infected. And they're scared to tell because they don't want to be cast away. So they got to walk around with being, you're already being physically taken advantage of. Now you're already infected, and you know you can't tell nobody because you don't want nobody to know because you don't want to be outcast. So you got to.
Yeah, but that's illegal. Isn't that illegal?
Well, it's only illegal if somebody finds out about it.
It's a shame. You know, it should be a law passed.
Well, there are laws.
It should be an invasive. No, I mean, it should be an invasive law that if you live in a household and you have children, that you should all be tested.
Well, you
I really think
can't.
They should
really
have a law.
No, you really can't. You really can't take it that far because you have confidentiality laws, and
true.
Basically it covers so much to where it's the front. I'm gonna give you a prime example. Let's say if a person that you knew was HIV positive, and I knew the same person, but I didn't know their status, and you told me about this person's status, you yourself could be put in jail.
Right, for HIPAA laws, because
exactly.
of the HIPAA
so,
law.
Just imagine the amount of people that are walking around with so much on their plate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking thousands of people in the five boroughs.
One in every five persons.
Exactly. So now you figure, and those are the reported cases.
Exactly.
So you know it has to be at least twice as many more. So we're
right.
talking so many uneducated people, so many people that don't even want to be they don't want to be educated because of the negative stigma. Oh, I don't want to sit next to him. Oh, I don't want to touch him. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to drink behind him. I don't want to eat behind him. I don't want to, you understand what I'm saying? It's because people are uneducated. They don't know anything. I know people that live with the virus for 27 years, and you wouldn't think nothing is wrong with them because they're functional. It's not like the 80s where you catch it, you get infected, and you die because of the medicines or the side effects or whatever. People are living healthy lives because they educate themselves, you know. But when you're stuck in the dark, you'll never see the light to come out to shine to try to shine to do anything, and it starts within the home.
Once again, how can people reach out to you? Because we're at the last wire of the show.
Well, if anybody wants
get information, the information out.
If anybody wants information or just to basically have a discussion, you can reach. I'm always on Facebook. I'm in the Capital District area. My telephone.
Tell your name.
My name is Gerald Quick. I'm an advocate for HIV and AIDS, and I talk to the youth mainly because that's the future. My telephone number is 518-221-4894. My email address is latif7132@yahoo.com. And you can always contact me, and you can always contact me through the Whitney M. Young Health Clinic. That's on 900 Log Drive in Albany, New York. It's so much information out there, and there's so many programs that you can utilize, and it's free. It don't cost nothing. You know, education is power. And in order to get the power back to the masses, you have to basically almost trick a person into being educated. And that's sad. You know, but
well,
I can trick
you know.
It's just so much information. And I hopefully next Thursday I'm going to have some more information to follow up with this because this is a very serious matter. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, AIDS Day is coming up in December. And we're having a big event up here in Albany at the Empire State Plaza. We're actually doing a quilt there for all the people that passed away that we know.
Beautiful.
That that had, you know, that has been infected and affected by the virus. I just spoke at a church a couple of weeks ago and about older people living with the virus and how faith organizations can get active and advocating and setting up programs within the churches, whatever religion you fall under. It's so many avenues, but it has to start somewhere. Somebody has to be unafraid to step up and be willing.
Well, we're going to be that group to let people know. Tune in every Thursday at 6:30 at blogtalkradio.com/hearnoevil. You can call us at 347-989-0761. I want to thank you, Gerald Quick, for calling in. And
no,
we will talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody have a blessed day. Thank you.
You too.
you get it? Right now we're writing history. A thousand years from now, they'll talk about you and me. I know sometimes I go hard for no reason at all. Put your soul through the business and test the weight of your heart. Cause when your back's on the wall and there's a shortage,